Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports. I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
It is a terrific Tuesday. It is You Better You Bet. It is Nick Kostos, it is Ken Barkley, and it's you here with us on the BetQL Network, simulcast for the next 2 hours by our friends at Stadium, and it's going to be a badass 2 hours of wagertainment coming your way. We will get to the playoff picture in the American Football Conference in the NFL. Ken and I have picked our four division winners in the AFC, the three wildcard teams in pencil, you know, not pen, you know, because it's April. And we will play out the AFC postseason later here in these 2 hours to determine the team that we think right now will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Very much look forward to that. We will have a great conversation next hour with Evan Silva from Establish the Run, one of our absolute favorites, NFL draft betting recap, and spinning things forward from the fantasy perspective with the great Evan Silva from Establish the Run. All of our bets for tonight in the Power Hour, final hour of the show. And if you missed hour one of today's You Better You Bet, you missed a great interview with Field Yates from ESPN talking all things National Football League, including the team that Field thinks will win the AFC, if it's not the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you missed that and you want to check it out, also Ken and I breaking down the epic game last night with the Nuggets and the Lakers, just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. But joining us right now to kick off the fun and frivolity in our Stadium 2 hour block on this Tuesday, the great Matt Moore from the Action Network, the Buckets Podcast, and NBA Bet Stream on Twitter at HP Basketball. If you like the NBA, if you bet the NBA, you need to be following Matt Moore. Or be a clown and don't. The choice is yours. Matt, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. How's it going?
Good, man. Was that incredible game last night between Lakers and Nuggets? Late night. Wrote a bunch of columns. Fascinating being in LeBron's press conference. NBA playoffs have been incredible so far. Sunday's games were one of the best days I think I can remember. Excited for these to continue. The second round shaping up to be awesome. Lots of stuff to be excited about.
Yeah, just really, really fun to go from the Sunday early doubleheader to like last night and what happened with Jamal Murray in the game-winning shot. You were there and you said you were at LeBron's post-game press conference. Well, let me ask you this. We usually do more hardcore betting stuff, like series prices and futures markets and stuff like that, but Nick and I even spent some time, Matt, to start the show. All right, like, where is LeBron next year? Where is Bronny next year? And maybe that's the same answer for both of those things. And who is the Lakers coach next year, if that factors into this at all, too? So some kind of swirling variables going on here. What's your best guess for where all those people are?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the Lakers are going to be a small minus number, but not a big minus number. I think the reality is that when he puts that final comment out where he's asked, you know, can you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in terms of your Lakers? Is this your last game as a Laker? He's, I'm not going to answer that. Drops the mic, walks out. Peak LeBron. Just peak LeBron. And he made it clear during that entire press conference that, like, he's not going to retire. He didn't say it. He said, well, I got to talk to my family. But unless he's like, yeah, I think, you know, that's probably coming. Also, there's no way he does that without a retirement tour. But with the Lakers stuff, this is all like a leverage thing. For the first time since he became a Laker, he did this all the time with the Cavaliers. For the first time since he became a Laker, he's put kind of the hanging blade over them and said, you're going to do what I want or I'm gone. You're going to give me the money I want. You're going to give me the roster that I want. You're going to give me the coach that I want. And you're going to draft my son. And if I don't get those things, I'm out. So figure it out. Choice is yours. Like, that's what he did with this entire process. He's got a player option for next season. He's going to get what he wants. And the Lakers are going to have to decide whether they want to give all of that to him and cede complete control for what is really honestly just like a 2-year plan, or if they're going to continue, which is, this has been a power battle of, no, we're the Lakers. We are in control. This is our franchise. That dynamic is going to be fascinating to watch. Again, Lakers a minus number. But I definitely do not think it needs to be above minus 150.
Matt, only like 30 seconds for this. We can get on to, like, you know, betting stuff in the NBA playoffs. Yeah. What is the percent chance that a non-Lakers team in a brutal NBA, what everyone says is a terrible NBA draft, drafts Bronny James with the intention of, like, maybe luring LeBron to, like, is that an insane thought that something like that could actually happen?
So you're just thinking about it wrong here. It's, you have to do the deal before you reach out to LeBron, or honestly, LeBron reaches out to you and goes, hey, if you draft Bronny, he'll come. That's the way that this works. This will all be prearranged. You're not going to like draft a kid to effectively hold him hostage. That's gross, especially
why
for
not?
NBA.
Why not? I'm being dead serious right now. Why not?
Yeah.
Because it won't work. He'll be like, well, you know, it's Bronny's career. Like, he's not going to let that happen. And you will piss off, like, everyone in the industry. Everyone in the industry. So, yeah, no. That's not going to happen. But what you can't get those arranged beforehand.
Which is the funniest team, Matt? What's the funniest team that would do this?
Detroit.
The Oklahoma City Thunder. That to me is the funniest one.
The Thunder.
The Thunder. Hey, you want to finish your career in OKC? How about that?
Yeah.
That's the funniest.
Siberia. That sounds great. Yeah, had to ask you, especially when you said you were at LeBron's press conference, had to ask you about that. So, Matt, we haven't talked at all about Denver, Minnesota in the second round. That's like our next topic, basically, because we spent so much time talking about Lakers, Denver, and kind of doing some other NFL stuff in the first hour of the show. So, look, like, consensus price, and, you know, opened in a bunch of different places, different numbers, kind of settled in, like, Nuggets more than minus 200, like minus 210, minus 220. Timberwolves about a plus 180, plus 190 dog, depending on where you go. You see that price. Those two teams, game one will be on Saturday. So long layoff for both teams, time to get healthy. You see that price. Does that make you want to bet on anything with Denver and Minnesota?
It's a series spread bet for me, this series. I don't want to get in on the actual winner here. Because for me, it's just like, I just keep asking myself, do I think that the Wolves beat them? And I'm like, no, I don't think they beat them. I think they can. I think they're going to have a heck of a shot here. But I don't think they're going to beat the Nuggets. But my confidence in the Nuggets' certainty to win is not the same as what I think the series is going to look like. And you're able to get, now you can go the other way and just bet the you know, outlier outcomes here. Like, you're getting Wolves minus 1.5 on series spread at plus 275 at BetMGM. Like, that's a great look. Wolves plus 1.5 is probably where I'm going to end up at minus 125. Yes, I'm laying a little bit of juice basically for this to go 7, and that does factor in all of the Wolves' outcomes, so why don't you just bet Wolves? Again, because I'm just really concerned about the Wolves getting a Game 7 win in altitude versus Denver. But the Wolves are extremely live here, and they are going to be a Game 1 bet for me. This matchup is very, very good for them. Denver had nothing but the highest of praise for Minnesota last year. Denver gave them the gentleman sweep in the first round, and still the Nuggets were like, yeah, that was our toughest series. Tougher than Phoenix that went 6, tougher than the Lakers, tougher than the finals. It was Wolves. That too big lineup causes them problems. Rudy Gobert does defend Jokic well, even though he gets buckets on him. Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jaden McDaniels set up shop and have their mail delivered to Jamal Murray's shirt. It is an excellent matchup to disrupt Murray, who's already got a calf injury. They can kill the bench unit lineups for Denver with Naz Reid running the floor. They've got guards in order to get downhill on Jokic. They don't have an answer for Anthony Edwards. They've tried KCP, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, and Aaron Gordon. Nobody has the right combination of size and speed to hang with Ant. He really tears up Denver. This is a great matchup for Minnesota, but we just saw them clutch out two of these wins versus the Lakers, go down by double digits 4 times and come back and win. Like, they're just so good at finding ways to win, and Jokic is always going to give you an imposition to win these games. I think Minnesota is going to be live in every single game. I think they are extremely live to win game one. I think the series goes long. I think Denver trails at some point the series. So I think you wait and you bet Denver once they go down as a dog. But man, this is going to be a heck of a series, and Minnesota is going to give them absolutely every ounce that they can put up with.
When the series is over, regardless of who wins, when we look back at the series, the best player in the series, Matt, will be who?
Nikola Jokic. It's always Nikola Jokic. And you have to have confidence that he's going to do that. He played one of his worst playoff games I've ever seen him play last night. It was up there with Utah in 2020 in the bubble in game three. He was checked out. He wasn't aggressive. It was a passive, weird game for him. He looked exhausted and bored. Not a great look from Nikola Jokic, but he gets 4 days off before this matchup. He always gets up for playing Gobert because of their international experience. He's going to be able to find ways to make plays in this series. And in reality, what it's going to be is you're going to look back, and it may not be that his numbers are all that awesome, but you're going to go what he was facing and how good the Wolves were, and he still solved it because Jokic is so good at solving problems. He's the best problem solver in the league, which is why they should be the favorite to win the NBA title. It's going to be Jokic, but boy, I think he ain't going to have some games.
It's going to be awesome. You better you bet with Nick and Ken talking the NBA with Matt Moore from the Action Network. Matt on Twitter at HP Basketball. Matt, just a quick answer to this one so we can move on to other topics. We don't know if Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch is going to be able to coach early in the series, like a torn patellar, sir. Like, insane story there. So if Chris Finch can't be on the bench coaching game one, game two, maybe on the road in Denver, like, does that matter? And if so, like, how does it matter here in like 30 seconds or less so we can move on?
I think it matters just from the perspective of Finch's game sense is really good. So he's got a good idea of finding small things. But look, he's got a really good staff. He's got Mike Anora. He's got an experienced staff that knows what they're doing, and they'll know the game plan. Finch will communicate with them in game. This is not 1960. Like, he can send in notes and be like, make sure to get this guy off the floor. You can do all those things. So I think it's absolutely okay. They'll be all right. It's definitely like a small impact, but I don't think it should move the spread by even a half point.
Yeah, I mean, just like even the off-court dynamics, like you have Finch, will he coach or not, like with a serious injury that required surgery. And then, Matt, I think it was even you that tweeted, I saw a couple other people tweet, all the connections between the two franchises, like the GMs and the presidents of basketball operations and the assistant coaches, all of them come from like the other team. Like, they all know each other, really. It's almost like Minnesota's been built to stop Denver. Like, that's why this happened. Probably one of the reasons why they praised him so much after the series is over. The rest of the West bracket, Matt, like Thunder, Pelicans, whatever, thanks, Galveston, Texas, whatever. And the Thunder move on to the second round. And I think, you know, a lot of people are going to look at this and be like, the Thunder get a week off. Like, the team they play in the second round is going to be through a war here between the Mavs and Clippers. Who do you think makes it out of Mavs, Clippers? And is it really, like, as dire as it seems, the rest advantage that the Thunder will have in the second round in terms of, like, are they so likely to advance to the conference finals?
If Kawhi doesn't come back, I think the Clippers get out, which is a weird sequence, but I absolutely think that that's sure. The case here. It's not just because they're 2-0. The Clippers ran 28 pick and rolls in game one. They ran 34 combined in games two and three when Kawhi came back. And then they shot back up to 29 in game four. It's this simple. You put the Mavericks in rotation, that defense falls apart. You let them dictate terms in isolation, they're much better. Luka's going to shoot better. I think the series is going seven. And that's a big part of this. I think Thunder are very, very, very live to make the conference finals and maybe even slip past whoever comes out of Wolves Nuggets, because I think that one's going 7-2. Teams that come off a game, get seven game series, have historically done terribly. Like, their outcomes in the subsequent round are awful. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it is sub 45%. They do not win those series very often. Now, some of that's because you're not as good. So you went seven games. And so you know, those are coin flips, and sometimes the worst team advances. So that's all part of this context. But I think OKC really is in position. Like, OKC's proven, no, like, they're not just like a regular season team. Like, they're still doing the stuff they did in the regular season. They're still shooting the lights out. They're still running the ball. Shea's still amazing. They got past that Pelicans game. After that game one where it got shaky, they settled down and they look much more comfortable with playoff basketball. It's the Pelicans without Zion. I get it. It's not the Clippers. It's not the Mavericks. I like the way they match up with both of those things. I legitimately think the Thunder are live to make the finals. I don't know that they're going to be able to pull that off, especially if it's Denver. But man, I think they're going to push very hard in the conference finals. I'm going to like them in the next round, I've decided.
Bets for tonight in a second, but Matt, if the Boston Celtics are without Kristaps Porzingis in the next round against either Cleveland or Orlando, does it matter at all for the Celtics to get to the Eastern Conference Final? 30 seconds here, so we save time for bets for tonight.
No, I think it's like five games, maybe. Like maybe the Magic get hot, maybe the Cavs get hot in game three or four. But this is gonna be quick. Like their record without Porzingis was great this year. Neither of those teams run zone. Like that's the thing, is like I think Miami's gonna give them problems in the next game because they're just gonna zone them up because they don't have Porzingis to flash middle. So neither of those teams, Cavs or Magic, can effectively zone them. So look, Magic are a tough, scrappy team, but they just don't have the firepower. Cavs just continue to wet the bed. It's gonna be five games. Celtics are making the conference finals, and they'll get Porzingis back.
Matt, bizarre kind of scheduling quirk. Three games tonight, all of them Eastern Conference series. It's like a little bizarre to see how this sets up. Sixers, Knicks, Magic, Cavs, Pacers, Bucks in like 45 seconds here. Any bets that you like in any of those three games?
Yeah, I got bets in all three. I'm taking the under 203.5 and Sixers Knicks. Typically in these kind of closeout games, it gets really tight because the one team's desperate. So I'll take the under there. I'll take the over in Cavs Magic based off of the fact that I think the Magic have figured out some offensive stuff. Cavs shoot better at home. And I'm on the Bucks here on the money line. It's just simply a trend play. Teams that shoot 50% in the next game on the road in the playoffs are 0-9 in game fives. That's what the Pacers did. They shut the lights out. Some regression happens. Bucks somehow figure out a way to get this win. Everyone dogs the Pacers for it. Pacers advance in the series, but I think the Bucks win tonight.
One word answer. Joel Embiid, dirty player. Yes or no?
Yes.
Should have said yes or yes. Would have been way funnier.
As well, I mean, but
Yes.
is no even an acceptable answer at this point? Matt, we love having you. We covered a lot there with Matt. That was awesome. On Twitter at HP Basketball, Action Network. The Buckets podcast, the daily NBA betting podcast, which is awesome, and NBA Betstream. Matt, I look forward to the Charlotte Hornets drafting Bronny James coming up in a little bit, and I look forward to your next appearance here on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Moore joining us. Honestly, like Denver should draft Bronny. You can't beat him, join him. Send LeBron to Denver. On the other side, we talked a lot with Matt about the Nuggets Wolves second round series. We haven't talked about it at all. We'll do that and more.
Next.